Rush. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, bringing you instant illumination and a rushing instant illumination. Rush. Well, now, this is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, bringing you this instant illumination on rush. And every time this dog barks, I will say rush. And so I imagine we would do everything in our power to discourage the dog from barking, wouldn't we?
Right.
Now, do you discourage things beforehand or afterwards? Now, I told you the story about Orrin Mohn at the United Church of Religious Science and Henley, Dr. Henley, who Valentine Henley, who was president of the United Church of Religious Science. And Dr. Henley went to Orrin Mohn, who was head of the prayer department and the other things, and he said, Dr. Mohn, would you please treat that our... Rush. Dr. Mohn, would you please treat that our Congress tomorrow is a great success? And Dr. Mohn said, no. No, he said to the president. Rex, sit. Down. And stay. Thank you. Good dog. So, fortunately, it was not a rush. So, Dr. Mohn said, no, I won't. And Dr. Henley was astonished that Dr. Mohn would say such a thing to him, because he was the boss. And Valentine Henley was smart enough to say, why do you say that? And Dr. Mohn said, I don't wait till the last minute before I start treating for the success of our Congress tomorrow. I have been treating for this past month for our successful Congress, and you can be sure it will be a success tomorrow. It's already a success in my consciousness. Now, the Congress was a success. Everything they planned went through just like clockwork. Everything was in perfect divine order. Everyone came and was represented there, and it was a very excellent program all the way around for everybody. Yeah. So, what does that tell us? So many of us would like to have wholeness in our life, and so we wait until we get sick before we ask for it. Many of us would like to have wealth in our life. We wait until we're penniless before we ask for it. Many of us would like to have relationships and friendships in our life, and we wait until we're destitute of friends before we ask for it. Many of us would like to be happy, and we wait until we're sad to pray for happiness. Now, why don't we be like Dr. Orrin Mohn and get prayed up ahead of time? And pray up ahead of time for your health, your happiness, your right actions, your right relationships, your goodness, whatever it is. But pray ahead of time. And when you pray ahead of time, what happens? It functions. Because you're not anxious, you're not loaded, burdened with anxiety. Will it work or will it not work? So it's very important for us to begin to treat for who and what we are now. Ellen, are you a beautiful lady?
Yes.
Does anyone know it?
I know it.
Ellen, are you a beautiful lady?
Yes.
Does everyone know it?
Yes.
Gott sei Dank. You see, when you say, I know it, you're saying, well, I don't care if anybody else knows it, but I know it. I know that I'm a beautiful lady. If anybody else doesn't think I'm a beautiful lady, they just don't have good eyes. They just don't look at me, you know. And we fight it. We fight it. Instead of just saying, Ellen, are you a beautiful lady?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because that's all what I know.
The world reflects back to me the beauty that I am.
The world reflects back the beauty
Doesn't it?
I am, yes.
Yeah, whatever I am, I see in everything around me. I only see beautiful people everywhere I go. I only see beautiful circumstances wherever I go. I only see joy and love. You see, I don't care what other people think. I know that I am, you know. You don't say that.
Okay.
Because you do care.
Yes.
Because whatever anybody else thinks is the reflection of what you think.
Yeah.
And so, if Dr. Moen had said, sure, I'll treat, and let it go at that, there'd have been no lesson, would there? There'd been no benefit. Dr. Ballantyne needed to learn that lesson. Why did he need to learn that lesson? Because it was part of an illustration in his talk the next day. And so that was a very striking illustration for him. And this is what all of us do. Beatrice says to me, oh, Herb, I'm so happy, I'm so happy. And I think to myself, I don't know anybody around me who's not happy. Everybody's happy around me. And then Beatrice says, I'm so rich, I'm so rich. And I think, I don't know of anybody around me who's not rich. Everybody's my reflection of riches, you know. And I got so many friends. And I said, I've got so many friends. And I can't imagine not being loaded with so many friends because that's who I am now. And then Beatrice let go of a few floodgates. Before, she used to think, I want to treat, I want to learn how to pray, I want to learn how to say the right thing about my world, and how do I learn to say the right thing about my world? And so we talked about it a number of times, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And what did we say? Whatever you see is what you are. Whatever you say is what you are. Whatever you think is what you are. However you have your attitudes about anything is what you are. So what did Beatrice come up with? She came up with, I am the ideal wife. Wow. But of course, she's married to a clown, you know. She's married to an oyster who hasn't gotten out of the shell yet, you know. And she thinks to herself, yuck, yuck, yuck. No, she is the ideal wife. And she is married to
the ideal husband.
The ideal man. Now, is that true?
Yes.
Well, it wasn't for a little while, occasionally. Occasionally, she'd look at him and say, he doesn't put his clothes away. You know, he does really, because he's a very neat person. Or he doesn't do something, you know. And so he gets upset at me because I don't put my clothes away. And so, you know, I've got to help him improve on that, not to be so touchy. And then what happens? What happens? She changed her program and she said, I am the ideal wife and he is the ideal husband. Now, what does the ideal wife do? She has the ideal husband who puts everything away and washes the dishes and cooks the meals and earns the money and does all the good things. Now, more or less, you know, more or less. And now, she's the ideal wife. What does she do? She cooks the meals and puts all the clothes away and she earns the money and she has a good time too. Neither one is limited. Now, does one have to do it and the other not? Or do they just both do it because they love it? Does the ideal wife love doing all that stuff? Yes, indeed. Does the ideal husband love doing that stuff? Yes, indeed. Well, now, are you going to wait until you get home before you see him doing everything beautiful and see you yourself doing everything beautiful? Or are you doing it right now?
Right now.
Right now. See, she's not waiting till she gets home before she starts praying. I hope it works out. I hope he's that way. I hope. No. What do you say?
I am the ideal wife.
And?
And
I am married to?
I am married with the ideal man or husband. You
know, either way, both ways, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that great? Now, what's going to happen when she gets home? She is going to be blind. She won't realize he's so wonderful, and he won't realize she's so wonderful. They are just naturally perfect. Isn't that too bad?
Yeah.
They're just naturally perfect. And they don't look at each other and say, oh, goodness, you put your clothes away. Oh, goodness, you do this. No, that's never even an issue. That's never even in your consciousness. Because you don't know what the unideal wife and the unideal husband are like. You understand? You don't even know that. And you never will. Unless you lose track of who you are. And you lose track of who you are when you say, I am not whole and perfect. You lose track of who you are when you say, I got problems, the world's going to hell, and everything is troubling me, you know? And when you do that, then you're going into problems, you know? Why is it we have left our awareness of our original purity and integrity? Because we've listened to the world around us. If we would always listen within, never listening to the world around us, what would we hear? We would hear the right path, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah.
We have never heard the wrong path, you know? We never heard the wrong path inside of ourselves. We've only heard the right path. And somebody come along and say, isn't it terrible what's going on? If you don't mind, in my world, everything is going just beautiful. What, yeah, is a chicken with your head in the sand or something like that? No, no, no. In my world, everything is beautiful. Well, what do you mean? Well, come on. Come on, I'll take you in my world. Now look, you see all these people? They're beautiful. No, they aren't. They got problems. And they look at all these people. They're beautiful. All these people are divine. All these people are God. All these people are wonderful. But, no buts about it. You look at them. Come, walk with me in the midst of them. What do you see? Well, I see a lot of very lovely people, a lot of very friendly. Now look deeper. Look past any outer appearances or any illusion you might see, and look past and see the divine within them. See the divinity, see the purity, see the wonder within them. How great that is, you know? Okay, now what's next? What's next? How do we maintain this attitude? Because the world around us is going to encourage us to join ranks with it, you know? And are we going to join ranks with the world around us? Or are we going to be the leader? Are we going to be the head of the clan? Are we going to present the facts of life to them? Now, what are the facts of life? All is in divine order. What is the facts of life?
All is in divine order.
What is the fact? What are the facts of life?
All is in divine order.
And there is nothing to change. There is nothing to improve. There is nothing to make better. But if you say the world's got problems, you are looking at the world's problems because they're a reflection of what's going on in you. And so when you clean up your own house and you say, I am divine, I like me, all is in divine order, then you look at your house and you say, great. Hey, Jesus, come, I cleaned the house. Come before it gets dirty again, come on.
Yeah.
But you want to keep it clean. You want to keep it clean so that your spiritual reality, your spiritual self, your spiritual life, yourself as God. Can you imagine God living in a dirty house? Mm. Can you imagine God living in a house where the children don't cooperate? Can you imagine God living in a house where the animals bark when somebody's giving a talk? Can you imagine that?
No.
Can you imagine that? Well, why does that happen? Why does that happen? Because you, silly mutt, think that the dog might bark. You got it in your head that it might bark. And so it barks. It's because you created it. Now, it doesn't have to be that way. You can create them as just the most wonderful puppies in the world. Now, Ellen creates her dog asleep half the time because that's most convenient. The dog doesn't bother her, doesn't jump up on her, doesn't do these things. I create Rex as an explorer, going outside and exploring the yard and looking around, finding all sorts of exciting things. And he's just having a ball. And when he comes in the house, he's ready to settle down and relax and enjoy our company mutually. You see? That's what I do. Now, when Rex wants to bark because somebody's driving by or something, I tell him, Rex, go outside and bark, please. So he goes outside and barks. He does. He knows. I said, Rex, in the house, we don't bark. In the house, we're very quiet. He said, well, you got the radio on. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got the music on. You like it? It's okay. Well, if you tell me you don't like it, I'll turn it off. Well, I would never deprive you of something you like, Dad. Well, and I don't deprive you of something you like. I just say, I listen to music in the house and you bark outside. So we each do our thing. And we each have a good time. And it's wonderful. But you see, we don't want to wait to pray at the last minute. We don't want to pray when we're sick, pray when we're poor, pray when we have problems. We want to pray, if pray is a word, or treat, if treat is a word, or recognize, if recognize is a word. I recognize that all is in divine order. I recognize that my house is a house of peace. I recognize that every choice that I make, it is divine and beautiful and wonderful. You see? We don't want to wait till the last minute, because the hospitals are filled with people who waited till the last minute. And I have students of the University of Healing, please pay close attention. Students of the University of Healing, please pay close attention. Everyone who calls into the healing ministry, please pay close attention. Everyone who dial healing words, please pay close attention. Right now, pay close attention. Here we go. Do you wait until you're dead before you call for the healing ministry to work for you? It's amazing. Some of our best students don't want to admit that they're having a problem and call us and say, will you treat with me? I'm having a problem. Because if they would call and have us treat with them right at the beginning of the problem, we would speak our word and zong, it'd be done. Over and perfect. But they wait. They wait until they're dying of cancer. They wait until they're dying of this or that or the other thing. They wait until they're ready to go to prison for debts that they owe or some other silly things that they do. Instead of just immediately when you have a problem, immediately when life gives you a slam bang that you're not familiar with, actually you give it to yourself, give us a call. Give us a call and say, look, I'm facing this circumstance. What do I do now? Don't tell us what you should do. Let us tell you, but tell us that you'd like to have our guidance, and then we'll guide you. Now, if you know what to do, then don't call us, do it. And if you don't know what to do, then call us, and we'll work with you. Now, we don't mind. We don't mind. A lot of our students, a lot of people who call into the healing ministry, they never let us know when the healing is done. And that's fine. We don't need to know, because we know it's done when we speak our word. A lot of people send offerings in for the work that we do with them, and they say, thank you very much. And we say, thank you very much. And a lot of people don't. But our consciousness is not out on a collection agency. Our consciousness is merely a matter of saying, we give, 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 give. And we always have more to give. We always have more to share. And this is what we do. We share. It's really wonderful. It's really beautiful. And it works. And are you ready for that? Yes. Be ready for that. Enjoy that. And know that that's the truth for you.
Thank you.
I remember my brother, well, first my sister. My sister was dying of cancer, and she was just having a tough time, and diabetes and everything else on the son that she had. And she wanted this and she wanted that. And so I went there and did it for her. Over the years, I went there and did it for her. Over the years, I did everything for them. Everything for them. And they had loads of money. They had to buy a new Cadillac because they had to spend money. And they had to do all these things. Well, they never said one word to me about money. Never one penny did they give to me for this. And I had to use my money to go up and see them and visit them and take care of them. But I gave. I didn't care. I didn't have anything. I was building up the organizations at that time, and it was tough to do those things, but I did it. I did it all their life. And then my older brother, he too had problems, and I would go and visit him regularly. I would go and he was telling me he had financial problems, and I gave him our old cars, and that still functioned perfectly. Remember the Nissan and stuff? And he just loved it and used it. And then he would take it and sell it. And then I would give him help on all the other things that he needed. And I would take them out to dinner whenever I'd go to visit them, because I wanted to, you know, do something nice for them. And so what happened? They never gave anything for it. Never anything. Now, you say, well, why are you talking about it? Why are you pointing it out? Well, because I want you to know that I didn't ask anything. I didn't ask anything in return, and I got a heart full of love in return. I didn't ask anything from May or Ray, either one of them. But I just gave and gave and gave. And then they passed away in great unhappiness, but they passed away. And I blessed them, and I love them. And I don't feel they owe me anything. But I gave to them. I gave them out of the fullness of my heart without expecting anything in return. And what did I get in return? I got the satisfaction that I gave all that I could. Yes. I gave all that was asked of me without any expectation back. Without any expectation. And it was quite expensive doing these things, because they lived a distance from us, and it was quite expensive doing that, and trying to take care of both of them on one visit each time I'd go in and do different things. But I did it, and I don't feel that I'm so good for it. I just feel that I was given the greatest blessing by being allowed to do it and being able to do it, and it was wonderful. But you see, if you give expecting something specific back, you won't get it. In fact, you'll be very unhappy because you didn't get it. But with Ray and May, I just surrounded them with my pure white light of love. I saw them blessed. I saw them released from their problems so that they could do whatever they wanted to do. And they were. And then they decided they had had enough and they took off. And that's good. Their choice. Whatever is their choice, it's their privilege. Now, Dr. Henley asked Orrin Mohn to pray, and Orrin Mohn said, "It's done." We don't wait, we do it. Did Dr. Henley offer Orrin Mohn an offering for praying? Did he offer him a higher salary? Did he give him a bonus for doing it? No. Should he have? Yes, he should have. In truth, he should have gone to Orrin Mohn and said, "Orrin Mohn, will you pray?" And Orrin Mohn said, "It is done." And he would say, "Orrin, I think that your work deserves recognition." And so he would go back to his office and he'd write a check for $20,000 and give it to Orrin, because that was for the whole Congress. And he wanted to believe in Orrin. But no, he just said, "Thank you," and went to the Congress the next day and used it as an illustration. But we should give to the very depths of our being when people do nice things for us and do wonderful things for us. Not necessarily we have to pay them off. That's not what we're doing. But we're just showing how significantly we believe in what they have done for us. How significantly we believe in the things they've asked us to do. And when we do that, then what happens? Then what happens? We are the ones who are blessed. Our coffers are overflowing with abundance. Our cornucopia, the cornucopia of all life, that the cup of all goodness, of abundance, of riches, of health, right action, peace, truth, love, everything good, it's just showered on each of us whenever we do, by the goodness of our heart, whatever we do. Now, am I unhappy with my brother Ray or my brother May, my sister May? No. Did I give them totally? Yes. Do I want you to appreciate me doing it? No. I just want you to realize that there are times I have to do those things too. There are times that I'm called upon to give beyond my ability, apparently, to give, and yet everything was there to do it with. Everything was there. And so you, whenever you're called upon to do something beautiful, just remember, if they want your coat, give them their jacket too. And what did the rabbi ask of the woman who wanted to become pregnant? He said, give me your most precious possession. And she thought and thought and thought, and then she realized her coat was her most precious possession. She went to get her coat, and she brought it back to the rabbi and couldn't find him because he had gone on to another city. So she followed him, until she found him 4 cities later. And she gave him her coat. And he said, because of your persistence and because of your integrity, go home and have your child. So she went home, she became pregnant, and she had her child perfectly. And her lady friend said, hey, I want a child too. And can I do that? Well, who knows? Go see the rabbi. I'll take him my best coat. So she went to see the rabbi, and she took him his best coat, her best coat, and the rabbi says, no, it doesn't work that way. You have to give me something that is so precious that you wouldn't want to give it away. You just would not want to give it away. Now, what do you have like that? And of course, with some people, it's their life. Would you give your life if you had a chance to do something very noble and beautiful for somebody else? Like to save their life or something, you know? Think about it. So, the first lady, she got her gift because she followed what the rabbi asked of her. Do you follow what the divine in you asks of you? The divine in you says, be at peace. It is done unto you according to your belief. And greater things than I have ever done, you shall do. So don't hang on me. Go out and live and do and be, because you're wonderful. And because I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.